to us. Come on. Yes, would you stand as he comes tonight?
Love you, brother. Just let her rip tonight. Don't worry about the time, all right?
Amen. Wow. Aren't you enjoying all that good singing? Praising the Lord. Magnifying his name. What a wonderful God we serve. Wow. You know, way back yonder, I know some people don't understand that, but way back yonder when I was a teenager, I could remember everything. I forgot. Okay. You stay right here. I get the wave of my hands around, you know. But I remember so well that way back in my beginning years, I could memorize every sermon. I could memorize every word I wanted to say. But something's happened. Something's happened. And I've had some people to tell me that it's better now than it was when I tried to remember it all. So maybe they got a point there. Amen. But sometimes it keeps us in the range of where we were supposed to go. And so we thank God for that. God's a good God. Amen. And I just want us to say it all over again. And the devil is a bad devil. Amen. He knows how to do his job better than most of us do. But he's a rascal. Amen. So much for him. We cast him out. Amen. I want to turn in the book of Luke, and I'm not going to preach directly from the scripture I'm going to read you, but it is so it's so informative about the things that the Lord has given me to preach on this particular occasion. 60 years I've been doing this. I thank God for it. 60 years this past February, the Lord gave me my first revival meeting at Black Creek, and I thank him for it. And he's blessed me through the years. He's done so much for me. Sometimes I feel like I've done very little for him, but I'll know when I get to heaven whether I made it, the accolades that he wants to give me or not. But until then, I'm holding on and believing in him and trusting him. In the Gospel of Luke, and it is good to have my Shiloh friends, and it's good to have another friend tonight that used to attend Shiloh quite a bit, and that's Johnny Moss. Johnny, good to see you back there. Glad to have you here. Amen. And of course, for a good while there, we had Brother Meeks and Sister Meeks, special people, wonderful people of God. And that couple right there sitting next to Gene, they've been a blessing to me for a number of years now. And I really appreciate you two and all your many times of encouragement. In the book of Luke chapter 15, a very familiar story that most every Bible reader can almost quote the words if they are a person who has that skill. Verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, that's a terrible place to be when you've spent all. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many of my hired of hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. That speaks of our world today spiritually. They are going through a lot of spiritual hunger. And then he says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And when he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand as a ring of authority, putting him back in leadership, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son who was dead, he's alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Praise God. All of us have been prodigals at time, in some time of our lives, maybe some worse than others. But there have been times when we've been prodigal handiworks of the Lord. And sometimes living in that prodigal manner, we learn the other side of the coin. The hurts, the anguish, the fear, the restless nights that those who have not walked with the Lord constantly. Let's pray for all the backsliders and all those who have not walked with the Lord who first started out well with him. But I don't want to talk to you tonight on this little idea. How long is the arm of God? How long is the arm of God? How far can he reach? How far will he reach? He will do whatever it takes to bring a poor sinner into the family of God. He'll go anywhere, anytime, any place, whatever's going on. His presence can go right in and take over and convict people of sin and unrighteousness and help them to live the life for the glory of God. One scripture that I had in my mind, and I didn't have time as I was leaving home to look it up and find it just where it was, but the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. So I want to talk about the arm of God. How long is it? How long does it last? A lot of people don't believe that. A lot of them have strayed away so long, they don't even conceive that God would have a moment for them. But he does. He has one for everyone. Your people that you know, people that you work with, people among your family, people among your neighbors, and others that you don't even know. The Lord will speak to our hearts and minds sometime and help us to say, this is the one that you need to witness to. And it's a wonderful thing to see them give their hearts to the Lord. An old song that I remember from way back when I was a boy, oh, when he reached down for me. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and blind as could be. Then my Savior in love gave me peace from above when he reached down his hand for me. Do you remember the day? You remember the night? You remember the place? You remember? Praise God. I was there when it happened. And I guess I ought to know, so the songwriter said. Amen. Hallelujah. When I thought about that, did you know that the Lord reaches into every corner of the earth to regather the Jewish people until they become a nation in their promised land? He did that. How far can God reach with us? God reached a little baby cast into a Nile River under sentence of death by the Egyptian Pharaoh and gave us Moses and the Ten Commandments. God can reach right on in the depths of whatever the waters are. And then God took a David, hidden in obscurity among the sheep of his father, Jesse, and gave us the wonderful 23rd Psalm and many more promises among the Psalms. Now, the Lord just reached down and said, this is what I want you to write, David. And I want you to share it with the rest of the world for the rest of eternity on this earth, whenever how much that is here. God found Isaiah, wonderful man of God, a relative of King Uzziah, and gave us an exact word portrait, just a word portrait, a word portrait. You know, sometimes portraiture can really give you a lot of lessons. What it looks like, what it's made like, who's the author of it, and it's such a wonderful thing. I want to know, I want us to always remember, I want to never let it escape from me that my Lord, He can reach anything, anywhere, any need. He can fulfill His promises and His grace and His power and His love for everybody. Doesn't matter where you came from, where you thought you were going to, but now you know where you're going when you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, sanctified, holy, and set free by the grace of God and walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Wonderful word, wonderful way to live. He found Isaiah, and he became the portrait writer of our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. He came and let us know that that little baby who would come is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise God. He still is. And then let's move over to the New Testament. A lot of what we could say about the Old Testament. But he reached out to a lad by the name of Mark from a wealthy family in Jerusalem, so scared that he fled from the Garden of Gethsemane when the temple police and the Roman soldiers came to seize Jesus, our Lord. He reached a rough and tumble Galilean as well. A Benedict Arnold, I could use that phrase. A traitor who went out and wept bitterly because he had sold the man on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he went away and wept bitterly and even wanted to throw those shekels back down at the feet of those that had hired him to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is Judas Iscariot. Oh, what an opportunity he had. What a wonderful person he could have been if he'd have just let the Lord use him and he had lived for him and loved him and lived like God wanted him to do. But he just could not quite make it. He was just too gullible, too greedy, and wanted too much personal attention. Oh, dear friends, a terrible situation. And then the Lord also reached down one by the name of Simon Peter. I just think about that. And he reached down to a doubter who did not believe until he saw the resurrection scars in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ in the upper room. And he's known as the doubting Thomas. You know, there are a lot of doubting Thomas people. They think, well, you know, the Lord didn't do it for me just like I wanted it. Oh, but he did it for them. He did it for the other people. He didn't do it for me. But you know, the Lord's done so much for me. If he ever did, never did another thing for me except let me breathe his fresh air and walk with him into the glory world when my time comes. But I want to tell you, my friend, we got to praise him and adore him in these lives. And he reached down to a woman who was the wife of the man who was going to allow the Jews to put Jesus Christ on the cross. She implored, she begged, she went after her husband the reason for it is because she had just had this terrible dream and she could just understand that this was wrong. This is wrong. And she came to Pilate And she said to him, have nothing to do with this man. Don't have anything to do with this man. I've had a bad dream during the night. I've had bad feelings about this, Pilate, and you ought not to carry this thing through. But he listened to the man instead of listening to the voice that God had wanted to give him through his wife. Men, we need to remember that sometimes. Gina probably remind me of that when I get home. Is to make sure sometime that we let the Lord speak to us through our wives. And wives, the Lord wants to speak to you sometime through your husbands too. Amen. I'm not going to let us off the hook. Amen. He reached into Israel's shattered government under Rome, the Sanhedrin, and touched the lives of two prominent members, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. Oh, two men who were top level, I mean top notch people in the land that day. He reached Saul of Tarsus, highly educated man. My high school senior theme was written on the Apostle Paul and his travelings. And I made a big deal out of this man of Saul of Tarsus because he was such a wonderful ambassador of our Lord Jesus Christ. But after Jesus' resurrection, no one has threatened the Apostle Paul's claim to be the chief of sinners. In 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, I among all of them. He said, you read the Bible and you think about it, and then you begin to read history about Paul, and you begin to find out that he, maybe because of his background, because of his education, because of how he was taught, that he was punishing the people who are following Jesus, the people who were walking with the Lord, the people who had decided that Jesus needed to be crucified. Oh, but one day, on the road to Damascus, his official name was Saul. But that day, God gave him a more sentimental, a more beautiful, a more indulging, a more wonderful name, and then turned him into Paul, a servant of the living God. Hallelujah. Thank God for him. I praise him for his glorious name, our Lord and wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. No one has ever threatened, out of all history, even Hitler wouldn't even have dared to do that, that say he was the chief of sinners, because the scriptures tell us that Paul's, or Saul at that time, Saul's motto, I am the chief to destroy this thing about the Jesus Christ stuff. That was part of history in his life. Oh, my friend, Paul, later on, he wrote some wonderful things. Glory to God. In 1 Timothy 1:15, he wrote that God reached down into Caesar's household. He said so many other wonderful things in the marvelous books that are in the Bible. Don't ever forget all the wonderful things that God gave the Apostle Paul to give to us for the glory of God. He went out and did some wonderful things, some marvelous things. Oh, I know he had to be blinded first. A lot of people, they can't see the glory of God. They can't see the hand of God. They can't see the glory of God. They can't see how good God is. They can't see what God has done for his people. They can't understand. They can't comprehend why those people follow Sunday after Sunday, Monday after Monday, and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Why do they follow this man Jesus, and why do they come so close every week they possibly can be in the house of God to worship in spirit and in truth? It's because Satan have blinded their eyes and they cannot see. They may can see with their eyes, but they can't see with their conscience. They can't see with the inside of them, their soul. They just can't understand it. Oh, praise God. You know, I think about all these wonderful people that I had thought about and written some things down about. He found Apollos. The Apostle Paul went on to find him, an academic giant in Alexandria, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith in Acts 6 and 7. He found Apollos, and academic giant in Alexandria, Egypt, and gave the young church a new teacher. And God found a wounded Spanish soldier by the name of Loyola in prison who had done nothing except read the Word of God and be faithful in reading it. And he formed the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits. And God helped him to lead many people to the Lord. American Indians through David Brainerd, missionary Adoniram Judson in China by Hudson Taylor. These men and other men, they reached the eastern tribes of the Northern American Indians. And they also David Brainerd and a long list of missionaries around the globe. And by the way, I want to just enter in something here that doesn't have a thing to do with the message. And I hadn't even thought about saying this. But pray for my grandson, Justin. He's just graduated from college and has been, will be meeting with the board, conference board, to be credentialed as a full-time missionary. And right now, he's in one of the nations. I'm not supposed to tell some of them that he goes into. But right now, he's in a nation doing a photography work for the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. That's part of his project this summer. And later on this summer, he'll be moving into another nation, and there he will be running a coffee house and being a part of that and be a witness to people around him. So you pray for Justin. There's a history behind Justin. His mother wanted to give him away when he was born. She didn't want him. And Greg, my son Greg, and his wife Donna had never had children and never been able to bear children. And so they took off to Alabama. And a great man of God who lived in Alabama told them about his granddaughter who wanted someone to come and get their baby and adopt that baby. And they drove down there and stayed for several weeks to take care of all the wonderful things about you got to do, you know, when you're adopting a baby. And so they adopted Justin and brought him back home. And if any couple ever loved the baby, they love that boy. Amen. And they really do everything they can for him. And God is blessing him. He's blessing him in mighty ways. He started to learn a lesson in what it means to do some hard work. When he first came back from college, a man in Greg's church up at West Durham, all preachers have to chase rabbits once in a while. Amen. But he came home and a person who has a fleet of ambulances and hearses. He said, "Justin, how would you like to be driving one of our hearses and going any time of the day or any time of the night until you go back to the mission fields?" I've been to a lot of mission fields already, traveling with the young people that do travel with our denomination in that effect. That's part of his training. But he said, "How would you like to do that?" And Justin said, "I'll do it. I need the money. I got to save some money for my being on the mission field." And so I've forgotten now whether it's the second or third night that he went out after midnight and had to go to this place. And when he got there, everything was dark and was just weary. And nobody was there to unlock it for him. They just called him on his phone on the hearse and said, "You got to go in there and get that body out, the casket." And Justin said, "Well, how am I going to do it? I'm just one young man." And they said, "Well, you're going to have to do it." He said, "You have to pull that gurney out. You have to put it in the ambulance." And he decided after that night that he did not want to ever be that kind of person anymore. But he worked at it for several months until he got back now busy in his mission endeavors. But that I haven't told that anywhere else, but except to my wife and maybe a few other people right around me. But my friend, I'm telling you, there's something to be done. There's a work to be done. There's a work to be done here at home and abroad. That's why we support missions. That's why we pray for missionaries. That's why we go here and yonder. I've had the wonderful privilege in my lifetime of visiting 23 of our countries and preaching and teaching the Word of God. And it was a blessing to me when I was in that particular part of our denomination and working with the Lord's call upon my life at that time. But the Lord reached into great countries like Britain and France and Germany and Africa and Spain and South America. And the list goes on and continues until this day and shall come and reach out to the corners of the earth, because the Lord wants everybody to hear the word of God. Every language, in every country, every kin and every person, no matter what color their skin, no matter whether they're in the prison house or whether they're in the Washington House up north. Amen. There's an urging in people's hearts. People who don't know the Lord, they have a calling on them. I know there are times when they've wanted to wonder about this wonderful God that we Christians serve, but we've got to show them and we've got to teach them and we've got to keep on going forward and evangelizing and just reaching out to people. Didn't mean to give you all that, but I did. Amen. He found Billy Sunday. Praise God, what a man of God. A man who couldn't pronounce many words very well. He was not educated at all in any way. Grew up in the slums in Chicago. And later on, in the Chicago Major League Ballpark, they used to bring thousands of people down the Sawdust Trail to come and bow their knees at the altar. Because Billy Sunday, he might not could call the words right. He might not could pronounce them right. But he knew what to do right. Amen. He touched the heart of people and the heart of God for the glory of God. I think about a man that has played a big portion in my life. Oral Roberts, with a message of salvation for the soul, for the body, and for the mentality. Amen. Hell, praise God for him. Many of you already know the story, but I was healed by from right here in Wilson at the old Carolina General Hospital from a sickness that I developed when I was somewhere in my ninth year or tenth year. And the doctors at Duke had given me up. They sent me back here to the old Carolina General Hospital. And now, let me just tell you right brief, and I'll move on. But I got to testify once in a while. Amen. And I'll tell you what happened in brief, if I can. I know Jean's heard it so many times, she can tell it better than I can. Amen. But I remember my mother coming down to Woolworth's here in Wilson on a Saturday. And she bought a little tiny radio, electric, wasn't going to stick in a plug. Didn't have batteries outdoors and the antenna standing up, any of that stuff. Because we didn't have, where I was living at that time, we didn't even have lights except an old oil lamp. And you say, you're that old? Yes. Amen. And so, anyway, Mama came down and she put that little radio in my room. And she found out which nurse was going to be on duty the next day that would be looking after my hall where I was in. And she found out about her, and she's a good Baptist woman who from Elm City. And she's passed on now and gone on to heaven. And I remember that Mama asked that lady, she said, are you a Christian? She said, I am. She said, do you believe in prayer? You believe God can heal through prayer? She said, I know he can. She said, I know he can do it, and I know he will do it. And so they had their conversation, and the day went on, and the next morning came on a Sunday morning. It was a Sunday morning. What that nurse had been told by my mother, she said, tomorrow, right after church, when Oral Roberts comes on the radio and prays for the sick, she said, my church back at Vaughn Chapel, Pentecostal Holiness Church in Nash County, she said, when they are praying and he's praying, I want you praying. And she said, and I want you to be here and hold my boy's hand and put your hand on the radio and put my boy's hand in your hand, and God's going to heal my son. The doctors had said I wouldn't live to be 20 years old at the very most. Well, I'm not too far from 80. I'm really getting mighty close. I can smell it almost. Amen. Well, friend, I want to tell you what the Lord did. They put their hands praying on each other, praying for each other, praying for me down at the hospital out there at that church. Brother Alvin Bass, Senior Alvin Bass, was the pastor of that church. Many of you have heard his name over the years, and some of you probably knew him. And I remember so well when she laid that hand on me, and it felt like something like just sweet rain just dousing all over my body, moving down inside of me. I could just experience it. I can almost feel it now. But I want to tell you what happened. She put her hand, the woman did, and I'm not putting her down now because she was a Baptist. She was a great, wonderful Christian. But she'd never been filled with the Holy Ghost. When she put her hand on my head and that hand on the radio, the Holy Ghost began to move in her, and she spoke in tongues and gave a message of deliverance and that I would be healed. Praise God. In Jesus' name. I'll never forget that day. Another thing, too, I stuttered. I got more fights in first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, and then now I'm in the fifth grade, and I'm still stuttering. Oh, I got more fights over it because they make fun of me. And usually I won the fight because I was determined. And I'm still determined. Amen. Praise God. But I'm fighting in a different army. Amen. Praise God. But I remember so well how when she prayed for me, it was just with oil. It was just sweet. So wonderful. After a while, the next morning, on Monday morning, I woke up early, and I thought, well, I'm hungry. I hadn't been hungry in a long time. I'm hungry. I want something to eat. And I remember a nap jar down the way when they take me to the lab every morning, and when they take me other places during the day to check me out in certain areas. And so, anyway, I remembered that, and I stepped down on that cold, hard floor, and, I mean, it was really cold. Of course, I didn't know what bedroom shoes were. And so I was walking on my bare feet, walking in that old gown that you don't like to have to tie up back here, you know. And I remember walking down, and all of a sudden I was going right up by the nurse's station, and I said, oh, no. The one that was on duty, I said, oh, no. Not on duty. I'm talking about the one on duty on Monday morning now. The second one. And she was... Look, I looked over toward her desk, and she had her head down, laid out there. She was asleep, and I said, glory. You know? So I sneaked on down. I knew if I could get that nab jar and could get me some nabs, somebody would pay for it. I'd get somebody to pay for it. And so I walked on down the hall a little bit. I was real wobbly, and I got right past the door wide open. Up on beside the bed was a little stand, and great big bushel, looked like to me. It probably wasn't more than a peck, but looked like a great big bushel of apples and oranges and tangerines. And I wasn't supposed to have anything with all that acid in it. And I remember so well how that man was snoring, and that got my attention too. And he opened up his eyes and looked at me, and he said, I said, what is it? What is it? You know, not what I would have said the day before. But he said, you want an apple? That's full of acid, you know. And I love them to this day. Not a day goes by hardly that I don't eat an apple. Amen. But I want to tell you, all of a sudden, that woman sitting at that desk, she got up, came hollering, screaming. She'd gone to my room. Where are you, Elwood? You can't walk. You can't get out of the room. You can't go anywhere. And I peeped around the corner out of his room, and she saw me. That woman picked me up. I believe it's the last one that ever picked me up. But she picked me up in her arms and took me back to my room and threw me down. I mean, literally. I felt like I might have bounced off the other side. But she said, you stay here. You are too sick to get up. You should not have been walking. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, nothing. Never stuttered. But you know what? About halfway mad by that time what she'd done to me, and that's why I said it that way. But after a while, you know, they took me down to the place where they did all the blood work and all those needles and all that stuff. And I remember so well. Doctor came in, his eyes got big when he saw the reports from the lab. They took me back to my room. He came down the room, and the nurse that came with him, instead of her having a clipboard that they would use in those days, he had it in his hand looking at all that. And Dr. Robert Putney Jr., who lived in Elm City, great man, great doctor, he said, "Elwood, you okay?" I said, "Mm-mm." He said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I'm hungry." And he said, "Son, I want to tell you something. If what I think has happened has happened, you can have anything you want to eat." And the Lord just blessed me over that. Amen. And you know what? Ever since then, I've been walking, talking, shouting, praising, and loving God, and praising His name, and enjoying His love, and His grace, and His power. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Maybe some folks will get the story, and other folks will get the message here. Amen. But I want to tell you, it's real. It's real. Praise God, I know it's real. Glory to God. And He's a wonderful God, a wonderful Lord. I had to stop on Oral Roberts there for a while. But then the Martin Luther's with the king of, with the message of justice and freedom for all and for all and all and last and not least leaving anyone out. And I think about the Brush Arbor's preacher. I remember when I was a little boy and I was in a Brush Arbor camp meeting up my daddy's first cousin, Albert Taylor, was preaching in a thresh, what they called I forgot what they called it now, it's been so long ago, but they had put up poles and cut limbs off trees and keep the sun from shining down on us on a Sunday afternoon meeting. And I remember so well, I had fun when I'd go to church after that, because right hanging right out of the top of that ceiling of those leaves and those limbs was a little green snake hanging. And Aunt Elsie, my mama's sister, she could praise the Lord and shout and praise. I can't do it just like she can, but she just like that. She'd stand right in the same place and just shouting and praising the Lord. And mama'd stand over there and she'd be praying and had that, what they call a rat or something in the back of the hair, you know. And mama would be shaking that head. And after a while, that head of hair would come down and that rat would hit on the floor. But that little green snake got my attention more than another, because Aunt Elsa's head was right under it, and I wanted him to fall out and fall on her head. Oh, praise God. What memories crazy preachers can come up with. Amen. Oh, my friend. Glory to God. As a result of all those people, I think about all those people, gospel tent preachers, Brush Harbor preachers, all those who were preaching on riding from here to yonder, from one Sunday to another, to different churches on horseback, preaching the Word of God, the D.L. Moody's later on. And oh, thank God for these wonderful people who have put us where we are today. Last but not last, there are individuals in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ who are born again, saved by the grace of God, sanctified in the blood of Jesus, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and are carrying the message around the world, not only in local churches, but all around the globe for the glory of God. There are few places on this continent, and few places on, talking about little villages somewhere on this continent, either here or in Canada. Oh, but my friend, there's few places that the gospel has never reached people. There are a few places that are hidden away in faraway little countries. And I've been places, I've been some of the places where they had not heard the gospel. I went with a group, of course. It was a wonderful experience. Jesus Christ, Lord of all, King of kings, glory to God, our wonderful Savior. You could just go on using names and adjectives and trying to describe Him. But I've never found anybody yet who could quite make him all out and tell everything about him in one sitting. I know you think I'm making all of it in one sitting tonight, but I want to tell you something. I want to tell it until the day I die. I want to live for the Lord and love Him and stir up people who are stubborn and stir up people who've gone in a backslidden state and stir up people who've never heard the word of the gospel and let them know that this thing is real. It's real. Oh, praise God. It's real. Hallelujah. Thank God. I know it's real, the songwriter said. And now we know it by personal experience. In the early part of the last century, a man by the name of Jerry McCauley, nicknamed the River Rat, was born again. He was a terrible man up till that time. He had been a notorious thief, and he was in and out of prison, just in and out. After coming to Jesus Christ, he opened the mission on Lower East Side of New York City. Thugs of all kinds, prostitutes, gamblers, and ruffians of every kind met our Lord Jesus Christ in that place. And thank God for that man and D.L. Moody and all the others of those days. But my friend, we can't go back and live like they did in those days. We don't have the same circumstances. We don't have the same problems. Some of them may be similar, but we have problems today that the church must rise up and praise God for victory. If victory in Jesus, and stand up and speak against sin and speak against terrible things that are going on in this nation and stand up for the glory of God, even if it costs us our lives. We must do it for the glory of God. We must do it. Praise God. One evening, a Mr. and Ms. Whitmore, a couple of considerable wealth, they came up. I found this article some time ago. They were in high standing, attending the mission, he in a tuxedo and she in a shimmering gown. And when the preacher there gave the invitation, these socialites, they knelt down on a rough, tear-stained bench, just like the rest of the people who were in there. They lost all their pride for a few minutes and got down on their knees in the sawdust and gave their hearts and lives in that little tabernacle in the name of Jesus. Oh, but the way what really got to them, this preacher by the name of Jerry. Jerry kept, they were down there praying. And he kept saying to them, he kept looking down on them. And when they'd raise their hands and praise the Lord, or a tear would fall down their cheeks, he said, "Do you mean it?" was the way he would say it. "Do you mean it? Do you mean it?" And folks, we got to mean what we say. We got to mean what we think we are. We got to be what God wants us to be in every situation, in every place of life. We've got to be ourselves, but be our best self for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, for His wonderful and glorious name. Our Father God is looking everywhere by the Holy Spirit to reach souls. He can't do it in other ways. There are some ways that He uses, but they are very, very, sometimes they're very, very hard for people to endure. But He wants to let people know the story of Jesus through me, through you, and through every Christian. Amen. They need to know it through us. They don't have to learn it through a very terrible time of their lives. They don't have to wait that long. You and I need to reach out to them and teach them the Word of God. Oh, the Holy Spirit who convicts has been called by one writer, I forgot his name, some years ago, the hound of heaven is the Holy Spirit. He's chasing souls. He's chasing backsliders. He's chasing lukewarm Christians. He's chasing. And it doesn't want for not one person to be lost, because it's God's will that all should come to repentance. Amen? That's what the Bible teaches us. The Lord's hand is not shortened, Isaiah said. He said it. It's not shortened that it cannot be saved. Isaiah 59, verse 1. God has a long reach. A lot of times people think, well, I'm too sorry. I've been away from God. I've been away from church. I've been away from family. I've been away from this. I've been away from that. And it's just an excuse. You're never too far away if you've never blasphemed the Holy Ghost. You're never too far away. You're never too far away. And remember that to share it with somebody else. You're never too far away. No matter how old you are, how young you are, how educated, how uneducated, whether it's a thief or a saint who thinks they're a saint. Oh, my friend, the Lord wants to reach all in Jesus' name. I wonder tonight, do you have anyone on your heart that you'd like to see saved? You have a gnawing in your spirit. You have a grasp of your heart. You know somebody who needs the Lord. And I know you've probably witnessed to them time after time after time, if not by words, by your example. But by your example, sometimes they'll even do it better than words, because they'll come to you and confide in you and will let you pray for them better. But then there are times when you really almost need to get them by the collar and say, you need to come to God. You need to let the Lord save you. I'm not talking about to grab them and try to hurt them, anything like that. But we've got to, sometime we've got to look them straight in the eye and say, I know what you need. I know who you need. And let's get that message out. Let's never forget it, to let people know that the Lord's hand is not shortened and it cannot save. His arm is not weary. His arm is not weary. He can reach everyone who will listen to His voice. Listen to His voice. Listen to His voice. If He's asked you to do something, not thinking, not talking about something that you had a bad dream because you all ate something bad that got your mind off what you need to do, but the Lord really spoke to you in your heart to do something for His glory, let's get it done. Let's get it done. Let's get it done for the glory of God. We never know. We never know when we witness to a person by example, by teaching, by loving, by caring, by smiling even. We know we can never, never, never estimate how effective we really are. And let's make sure that we be effective in the right way for the glory of God. Oh, my goodness. I don't get to preach much anymore. And here I am. I don't know how long I've gone. Might have been 2 hours. I don't know. Amen. Praise God. But I just said a lot of things tonight that I hadn't planned to say, but it just felt like the Lord would have me say it. Remember, when we walk out these doors, we are still ambassadors for Christ. Just like we are in here. Amen. We're ambassadors for Christ. If someone here got some loved ones on your heart, maybe co-workers, neighbors, people that you know are going through difficult trials, and you want to just come and gather around the front, around the altar area, and just pour your heart out to God for whatever has crossed your mind that needs to be prayed for. But so many people need prayer. So many families need prayer. So many individuals, and so many of us sometimes, we need prayer from each other. Will you come if you're able? We understand if you're not able to come and stand. But if you can come and stand or kneel or sit near the front or whatever you want to do, will you please come just as I am? Just as I am. If there's somebody here tonight, if you're lost, you know you are. You know you haven't made your relationship with the Lord intact. You've not been washed truly in the blood of the Lamb. And you need,
hallelujah,
you need to get it done now. You have no promise of another breath. You have no promise of another day, another hour, another moment. Let the Lord reach out to your heart. If you have people that the Lord's laid on your heart for a long time and you become maybe a little bit slack because you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and they never gave in, they never came around, but I want to ask you tonight to renew that hunger to reach souls. Could you, my brother? The little song that Lord lay some soul upon my heart. Mm-hmm. Sing it. Lord, lay some soul,
yes,
upon my heart.
Yes.
And win that soul for thee. Oh, may I ever do my part to win that soul for thee. You thinking of somebody? Do you know somebody? Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me and may I ever do my part to win that soul for thee. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I ever do my part to win that soul.